نحمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم أما بعد قال الله تعالى بقرآن مجيد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد المدين الجود والكرم اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد الوالي والغالب اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلي وصحابي وبارك وسلم أما بعد.
When the human being arrived into this world, into this dunya, when he comes into this dunya, when the human being is present in this dunya, just like we are present, I am, you are, at this present moment in time, we are in this dunya, in this world, then what is the most important thing? What is the most important thing for us? Through which, due to which, our success totally depends on that factor. And how important is that thing, and do we remember that thing? And if we remember that, or if we're aware of it, how much are we aware of it? How much importance of that factor is there within us? And how successful are we based on that? Or how much is it lacking also within us? Always before the majlis resumes or continues, I request and mention that the objective for which we are all gathered is that the things that we are lacking, that are not within us, may Allah Ta'ala fulfill them. It's not a speech or a lecture, waz, or to mention technical points or tafsir is not my objective, nor is that my topic or my speciality. Just the objective is that let's have some concern, what is lacking in us, what are we lacking, that we can fulfill that and plug the gap. With my colleagues and friends, I also request that always when you come to this gathering, then definitely have this intention. So this majlis is the title of the gathering of dhikr. That obviously, dhikr, remembrance of Allah, that's the summary of this gathering, or the essence of this gathering for which we are all gathered for the sake of Allah's name. But that's also for this purpose, for this dawah, that we should create some fikr, concern, that things that we are lacking, that are not within our lives, that we should be aware of that. Whatever Allah Ta'ala instills into the mind, then we discuss those points, we sit down. There's no other special objective. So today's discussion, the point that I've just shared with you, so please pay attention to the importance of this, inshallah. And most definitely, we will not consider this like a normal discussion or gossip. Rather, we will think on this importance. Rather, the rest is the tawfiq, and how much ability and capability Allah Ta'ala gives to a person to do amal, practice. So what was saying was that we are all in this world, in this dunya, and what we need to think consistently is that what should we be doing? What's the important action, duty that's been assigned to us? What's the most important task, duty? Such a big duty that in the Quran, Al-Hakim, the kitab that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, this is our main kitab, our main source of guidance, the Quran, Al-Hakim, everything we attain through the Quran, guidance, everything we get guided from the Quran, Allah has given us this book, Allah has given us this kitab, that this Quran will guide you. Hudallil muttaqeen, that it will give you the guidance. We have no need for anything else, alhamdulillah. Allah has given us the Quran. Allah has given us the tafsir commentary of the Quran in the physical form of the life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nothing's hidden. In his physical life was the whole tafsir of the Quran. Everything you can understand by looking at the physical lifestyle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nothing's hidden. Nothing's hidden. So in the Quran, so now I'm explaining to you the importance of this message that Allah's given to us. Today I'm sharing with you the Quran. One third of the Quran, how much? One third of the Quran is based on this message, this point that we're discussing today. One third of the Quran. So we can say that many places in the Quran, this same message Allah is repeating. So we can revise it, because the Quran is always with us, always is going to open. So for this reason, the pious predecessors have stated that the Quran, without pondering over it, without practicing on it, is not beneficial. Rather, the Quran is upset with that individual. With such an individual, the Quran is unhappy. The person who has a weak relationship, who doesn't analyze or ponder over the Quran, think of the Quran, and he doesn't do amal on the Quran. He doesn't practice on the Quran. So that, because we have lacking today, we don't think about the Quran, we don't reflect on the Quran, and our amal has gone, disappeared. In other words, our connection with the Quran has ended. So that message, one third, 33%, for example, that's also disappeared. If we don't think about the Quran, we don't ponder over the Quran, if we reflect, then we will practice, won't we? Or not. So we have to, we just read. Just reading upon reading. Yes, there's tawab, but that's it. So we're doing, so we have lost the objective of the Quran. So that's the reason, such a big objective, a message that the Quran is covering, that one third the share of the Quran is sharing everywhere in different ways. Allah Ta'ala keeps repeating and sending that message to us. And what is that? What is that? That keep remembering your return. Keep remembering and thinking about your return. Do we not have a return journey? Yes, it will come. That's the issue. That's the problem. Oh, where are we going to go? No. Do you know what we think? That, for example, a guest comes. The guest has arrived. We see the guest is there, food is being cooked, and everyone sat, and the guest is there, and you're treating the guest nicely, this chicken cooked, biryani, pilau rice, shami kebabs, this dish and that dish. And the guest comes on a 3-day ticket. He says from his tongue, that can you extend that ticket, because I feel like staying here now, I really like it here. You say, okay, fine, you can stay a bit more. Then he extends it by a week. After a week, he says again, the guest, oh, I like the environment here, the weather here. I'm thinking maybe stay a bit longer. So the host says, is it? He looks left and right. What can he say? He just says, okay, fair enough. So the guest wants to extend the days. Why? Because he starts to like where he's at. He's enjoying this maza, no work, food is coming, he's eating, sleeping, being served, khidmats. He don't want to go back. Will he think about his return? No. He'll forget his return. So we are the same way, the guests in this dunya. We are doing the same mentality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't send us here on a one-way ticket. Rather, Allah gave us a return ticket. Say subhanAllah. Yes. Allah has given us a return ticket. There's a stamp on the back that keep remembering where you came from. You know, today we've forgotten that we don't look back, but that stamp is on the back of the return trip. This is what we've forgotten, that stamp, that date. It's dimmed so much. Why? Because the thing that was to remind us of the return day, what was that? What was that? The Quran. The Quran we don't have. So we don't have the objective of the Quran in front of us. We don't have tadabbur on the Quran. We don't practice on the Quran. The rest, all other connections with the Quran we've established, that don't give us any benefit. Any benefit. There's no benefit at all. There's no benefit. This word I've heard, this word. from a great personality, you heard these words, a great mufakkar, a great alim, a great scholar, great waliyallah. That's why I'm sharing these words with you. Otherwise, how can I dare to speak to you? All the words I say are those that are so valuable and precious that I heard myself. That's why I say to you, understand the strength and power of these words. They're not my words. Me, I am just trying to improve myself, or that's why I'm here. Not you, I'm trying to correct myself. You are pious people, that's why I come here. That's why I come here. That Allah Ta'ala, may He give me success for the hereafter and make my hereafter good. So it's Allah's big mercy. Allah's given us this majlis gathering. We're sat in, we're talking to each other. We're not talking about dunya, we're not talking about here or there. There's no argument, no quarrel, no debate, no munazara. We're not saying bad to another sect. We're not criticizing anyone. Whoever's doing whatever they're doing in the world, that's fine. We're just talking about a common thing that is beneficial for everyone out there. Everyone, there's no point arguing, no, you should do this, you shouldn't do that, this is important, he's wrong, this person's right. What's the benefit of this? What's the benefit? Even then we're the same after that. Yes, that's where it stood, the animal is just stood in the same place. So why should we waste our time and stretch our minds? Why don't we talk about such a subject that will benefit us all, and that is love, muhabbat. That will increase the love and the muhabbat within us. Is it not good to do that? Yeah, let's talk on the deeni factors based on muhabbat and to spread love. So this is what we're lacking, is that we don't create love within us. We create arguments, quarrels, disputes. You are wrong, he's right, I'm this, you're this. So what was I saying? The discussion was that such a big message Allah's given to us, that for example, we are like the guest who goes to someone's house. When we arrive to this world, we don't want to turn around and return and go back. We want to stay forever. And this is what Allah Ta'ala is warning us about in the Quran time and time again. That the dunya, the world, is a place of games and tricks. Many times over, Allah says, save yourself from this dunya, stupid, foolish person. You are sent in the world for a test, an examination. You have to come back, Allah says. You have to return. You've got a return ticket. It's not one-way ticket to the dunya. So if we remember this time and time again that we have to return, then we'll be successful. This a man should keep remembering. I've got to turn back. I've got to go back. And when are we going to go back? He's totally ready. He's prepared. There's no restriction of age or health. Not at all. Allah can call you through an accident. He could call you through a dizziness. No, through an excuse. It's not that you're going to get sick first, then go to hospital, then your breath will stop, and then the cloth will be put on your face, and then there'll be this and that, and then your ruh will be pulled out. No, that's just a different method that Allah uses. Yes? So, Allah Ta'ala has determined who's going to die and how they're going to die. What we need to do is keep remembering our flight is ready, the ticket's in our pocket, the stamp has been applied on the ticket, and we're going to return. So what do we need to do? We need to prepare the luggage for the return trip, say subhanAllah. This is where we lose out. This is where we lose out. This is where we fail. Fail. You know, Baba, he was sent somewhere, a person on a journey, and he went into the garden. He went in the garden, he saw very beautiful flowers, he went further in the garden, and he saw very nice fruit. He started to break the fruit, eat grapes or apples or plums, and he's eating the fruit, enjoying, and he's wandering around in the orchard. And he's so immersed in that orchard that he didn't feel like leaving that garden, the orchard. And he said, what's the point of leaving here? It's so good here. So these are examples, stories. In our relationship with this dunya is what? How have we got stuck? This house, this shop, these are attractions Allah has given of the dunya. This is our challenge, our test. When Allah has given us everything in the world, sent us through this world, Allah says, everything is around you, but I will give you such a thing, Allah says, that if you hold on to that firmly, strongly, then never will you fall into deception with this dunya. Never will you be deceived by this dunya. If you hold on to that what I've given to you strong, taraktu fikum amarain, hadith, two things I'm leaving with you, said Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why is that? Kitabullah wa sunnati Rasulullah. Yes, on your head should be amama, on your body should be the sunnah libas, and your whole life should be according to Quran and Sharia, end of story. Guarantee, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that you will not be deceived by anything at all if you take hold of the Quran and to do see the tafsir of the Quran, then learn it through my physical lifestyle. No other tafsir. Which tafsir? That what I have done in front of you, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. The best tafsir of Quran Allah has given to us, the physical. What tafsir is best? Which tafsir shall I look at? Which tafsir is the best tafsir? Has Aisha radiallahu anha said that, have you not seen the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walking, talking Quran? He is sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sunnah we have left, Quran we have left, Quran's amal we have left. So what preparation are we making then, my brothers? We are stuck in groups and sects, and he's an ashik and he's this and he's that. We're stuck in those games, and we haven't got no preparation for the journey. So the main thing for a human being is that every second he is in this mode, but we are stuck in this world. Shops, houses, properties, mal, money, women, wedding, one wedding, two wedding, four weddings. In these games we're so lost and trapped, our nafs has made us trapped, that we don't know when we're going to return. This much money, that much money, this mal, that mal, this wealth. Over 100,000 sahaba, the Holy Prophet ﷺ, he prepared his students in front of him. More than 100,000 sahaba. And Rasulullah said, every sahabi is a shining, sparkling star, because I have seen him with my blessed face. That please shine my heart also, O you who are shining the people. Rasulullah said, I made everyone sparkle, glow, shining, that all the people who want to attain the shine and the sparkle from the source. Such Rasulullah made them shine and glow. He said that my sahaba are the stars in the sky. And you have nothing to worry about. More than 100,000, 124,000 sahaba, sparkling, shining stars. Whichever star you follow, you will be guided. What a great open playing field. But so what are we arguing about now? That if someone has accepted a sahabi, yes, if there's a sahaba's action behind it, the sahaba did this, that's fine. If you're doing that, alhamdulillah, do it, because the sahabi did it. That's good. So the real point here we have to understand is that every sahabi in his example is that he is a shining star. Our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us this. In other words, light is emitting from him, and where there's light, there's no darkness. Yes, wretchedness, sin, bid'ah, innovation, all of these are darkness. They're all darkness, aren't they? Examples of darkness, these things. So wherever you have the light of the sahaba, then the innovation won't come there, traditions won't come there, sins won't come there. The light has arrived and all the darkness will disappear. Do you understand what I'm saying? So there's nothing in our lives. We have nothing. So my brothers, our task and duty is to need to be focused on the preparation. Don't run after the attraction of these things. Don't care about the attractions. In the dunya, why got one wife, why don't I have a second wife, why don't I have a son, why don't I have daughters, why don't I have a house, why don't I have a car, how will I eat, how will I earn? No, nothing to worry about at all. These are all tests and challenges and ups and downs. That's it. Just look at this much, that Allah won't leave you hungry, your stomach will be full with what? Even if it's one biscuit he gives you, that's enough. One biscuit. I was traveling, I think 60 years ago, it was quite a few decades ago, I was traveling and I went, all my money had finished, I was on a tour. And then at that time, I think we were Turkey, I took a bus and I was going to Germany and Yugoslavia, going across the lands, I had no money. And extreme hunger, 2 days I was really suffering with the hunger, suffering. Sat in the bus. And in front of the bus, there was another person on the seat. There was my friend next to me. And I'm telling you a practical example here. So there's no means that if we get off, where will we eat from? We don't have no money. And the money was not much and it finished. There was hunger, a lot of hunger. So I said, there's only one way. I said to my friend, that let's turn to Allah. Let's turn to Allah. Let's ask from Allah who gives to everybody. Subhanallah. I said to my friend, he started laughing. He said, here there's no one in the bus. How's Allah going to give through who? There's no means. I said, let's ask Allah. Let's speak to Allah. Yes? Let's call out to Allah. He said, okay. So I said, put your mouth down, face down. Let's ask to Allah. We are hungry. We're finished. Allah, please prepare something for us. We said. So the person who sat in front of us, the person, he had a child next to him, and maybe he was 4 years old, the child, and he had a packet of biscuits, say subhanAllah. Yeah, very nice biscuits. And what was he doing? Allah gave him the hukum in his heart. Allah instructed him. Now, so what did he start doing? He got the biscuits and he's throwing them down, and we were picking them up, starting to eat them. We put with our face down. That was him just playing, the kid. Mother and father didn't care what was happening. He's taking the biscuits out of the packet while he's playing. He's throwing them on the floor. I said, it's your turn. He picked up one, then I picked up one. All the packet, two packets, he threw them down. We picked up the biscuits and started to eat them. SubhanAllah. When the next station came, I said, biscuits, so many. Allahu Akbar. The tea will come as well. Do dua for that. So, this is the point, brothers, that Allah fills the stomach somehow. But that stomach that Allah Ta'ala fills with, then you should be satisfied with that. No, after your stomach is filled, oh, if I got this, it was better if I got this. Yeah? I'm telling you these points, that if you really want to live in this world properly, nicely, the way Allah Ta'ala wants us to, Allah Ta'ala wants us to live in the proper way. What I give to you, eat, what I give you, drink, whatever I say happens, whatever wife I give to you, whatever I keep on giving to you, you just carry on your task I've given you, your duty. You keep on doing your work and don't fall back from that. What is your task? The keep remembering your return journey, that I have to return from this dunya. I have to return back from where I came from. You keep remembering this. So there are people who are brainy, intellectual, who do this task, and they don't attach their heart to this dunya. They live in the world, they're hungry, but they haven't died. Yeah, they're doing the work, Allah. But this point, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned, they've never forgot that we have to return and go back. They've never forgotten this. The time comes in a human being's life. Let me share a hadith with you. The time comes. A person always gets a chance, an opportunity in life. This will come upon me and you. Listen carefully to this hadith. Who is telling us? The honest master, the Nabi al-Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from his blessed tongue, these words have come out. These words, their value is so much, if the whole world could be wrong, the moon, stars, sun, everything can be wrong, the light, the shining, everything can be wrong. What I'm seeing with my eyes can be wrong. What we see in front of us can be wrong. What we are seeing can be wrong outside, but the words that have come from the beloved Prophet and blessed tongue, they can never ever be wrong. Ever. Because it's confirmed. Whatever words have come out, exactly that will occur. Exactly 100%. Remember this. And this equals, this is defined as hadith. Hadith. How great a value. This is not a big, small. Just look here. Though whose blessed tongue mentioned these words? What praise Allah Ta'ala made about the blessed words of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That my Mahbub, my beloved, he does not speak from his preference and out of his own accord. It's me, Allah says, who enables him to speak. Such a beautiful, excellent tongue and words. That Allah's Nabi says, if he said one word, there's nothing more precious than that in the universe. And a person can never be deceived. If you are under the shade of a hadith, you will never lose out. That this is the words of Rasulullah. Some end of story. 10 years, even if you're getting lost after believing that, that's not a loss. Remember this, what I'm telling you. Remember this, what I'm telling you. 10 years, you say, oh, I followed this hadith. Rasulullah said this, that, for example, no, this is bitter. I'm not going to drink this. This is wrong. No, no delete. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, don't do this. This is the love for the Prophet of Allah. And most definitely, yaqeen. He says, 1 year, 2 years, 10, 15 years pass, and he's wretched in dunya, but he stood there, firm. He said, everyone's laughing. What are you doing? This is happening in the dunya, not tell me. Yes, call your Prophet, call your God. People are mocking and shouting. They keep on doing it. They will carry on doing the dunya in this world. But remember, that this yaqeen, I tell you, the whole world can be wrong. But our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, beautiful words that he mentioned, can never ever be wrong. Remember this. Okay, fine, we stood there. We stood loss upon loss upon loss, loss upon loss. Whatever is happening and finishing and disappearing, but you stand firm on your principle. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. The individual, he is successful, always will succeed in this world and in the hereafter. Definitely. Remember this, never will he fail at all, that person. He will be successful on the highest level. Today, this is the iman we require. This is the refreshment we require. That Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, blessed words that came from him, which we call hadith, we should have a strong connection with them. Question doesn't rise, I leave that. So we've heard it, we accept, that's the end of story. Such great kitab, Sahih Bukhari, Siha Sitta, and so many kitabs have been collated. One hadith is enough for the whole life. Every hadith, every word of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is that the objective that he came with, his mission, his objective of coming was just one, that this human being needs to be connected to Allah, our Creator. That's what he said when he stood on the mountain and he said the same words, "Oh my qawm, my nation, I just want one thing." When he stood on top of the hilltop, he said that you are the servants, the human beings, I want to connect you to Allah. "Qulu la ilaha illallah," say just once what I'm telling you. This was the mission of Rasulullah, the Prophet of Allah. Biggest mission. He came to connect the humans to Allah. So his every single word of the Prophet, every word of the Prophet is that if a person sticks to it, grabs hold of his words, one hadith, not just the whole of Sahih Bukhari, not the whole of Siha Sitta or Sahih Bukhari. No, we don't need the whole book. Musnad Ahmad, we don't need the whole book, just one hadith you take from those collections and say that this is the guide for my life, I will not leave this. You have been connected to Allah, you have arrived to Allah, because Rasulullah's every word connected a person to Allah. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me. Siddhi, straightforward point, don't need to go left and right, look back. That the statement of the Prophet, end of story. You can argue, people call you mad, crazy. Say subhanallah. This is the glory of the ashiks, of the lovers of the Prophet. That people say we're mad and we're crazy and we're stupid. That subhanallah, that Majnun, what was his quality until today? Say Majnun, that Layla, what was she? Yes, maybe she wasn't beautiful, but for Majnun, she was very beautiful. Say subhanallah. Yes, everyone likes his wife and thinks his wife is nice and attractive. Yes, so maybe somebody else doesn't think that, but that individual does. That for example, yes, if you look at other people around, but for example, the son, he is attracted, the man is attracted to his wife, the qualities. Yes, and he goes after everything that the mother says, and then the mother-in-law says, "Where has she come from here? Why is my son running after her? I don't see what he's seen good in there." She'll take 70 different, look at her nose, look at her mouth, when she smiles, she doesn't look good, when she cries, don't look, her teeth, this and that. The mother-in-law criticizes. But the husband says, no, there's no one without her. She's the sun, she's the moon. Whatever she says, it's fine. And if he says, "Don't go to zikr," he says, "I won't go." Subhanallah. He says, "I won't go." Yes, don't do any wedding like that ever in your life. A person who stops you from dhikr. Remember this point. Never. That there should be the wife who assists you in the deen, who enables you to practice the deen. Remember this. This is the correct person. That husn, that beauty, this is the real beauty. The light skin, which she looks white, that all disappears. The real beauty is the partner, the wife, who invites you towards the deen. You say, "I'm not going." She pushes you out of the house and says, "Go to zikr. Go. I'm not going to make chapati and food for you if you don't go to zikr." That's the real beauty. This is in the dunya, the wife who is the real hoor, who encourages the husband towards deen. This is the hoor. The Holy Prophet ﷺ's first wife, Hazrat Khadija, what did Rasulullah ﷺ say? "Oh Khadija, your favor, I can never forget the favor you made upon me. At that time you assisted me and helped me, when in the generation and the people around me there was no one to help me." Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha, how she assisted the Prophet on the path of the deen brilliantly. And he never forgot that favor for the rest of his life. So what was I saying? What was our lesson, our sabak for today? The hereafter, don't forget it. The return ticket that we've been given, don't forget the return ticket. Look, a person dies, but there are two types of people who die. One are those who remember that we are to return to Allah. And secondly, those who are stuck in this world and running around wild, lost. Two opposite people. Both will die. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has stated about the death. He who's remembered the death and he who's lost in the dunya. So we can't see. There's a person lying down. I'll also be lying down. You'll be lying down. But the pious elders, they see mourning in him. They know that this person's dying, passing away. This woman is dying. What's happening at that time? That no power of the world can tell you, no science, technology, no scan can tell you. If only a person can tell you, this one person, Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he could tell us what's happening at that time of death. He could tell us, he had the qualification to tell us. And he told us what happens at the time of death. He said, I can see that, I can see that, that you cannot see, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is this not the case? Is this not the case? Tell me, if it's the case, say subhanallah. Subhanallah. So why don't you say subhanallah? Allahu Akbar. How ummah we are of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that person's lying down, about to pass away, and there's a different scene happening around him that we don't know, we can't see. The scene that's taking place, he's defining to us. Do we have yaqeen and belief in this? Rasulullah's beautiful sentences. If you believe this, then write these statements on the diary of your heart. It's going to happen to me, not today, but tomorrow. The tickets come, your flight's ready, and they're calling out to you, calling out to you. The plane's taken off quickly. You know, like in the airport, they announce, last call. They say, last call, passengers. Flight's about to take off. They're announcing. And when I used to go on a trip, I used to get late. Used to be last, and they used to call my name out. They say, who's this person who hasn't come quickly to the gate, departure gate? That's my habit of being late, last, getting delayed. So, Allah's Nabi said, the person's lying down. Nobody knows what's happening around him. He's about to pass away. Malik al-Maut arrives, the angel who comes to take the ruh, the life. What's happening here? He is the transport. He'll see to you on your transport, Malik al-Maut. The transport's ready, isn't it? Come, 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 he'll say, come. I've come to get you. Come and sit on your seat. This is called muntaqil, the person's departing. This will happen with us. The angel will arrive. The angel arrives. We're lying down, about to pass away. The angel, he will do what he needs to do. So two angels, Rasulullah said, there are two angels, karaman katibin, with us. There are two angels with us, isn't it? It's right and the left. Allah Ta'ala has left them. Have you ever seen those angels? Have you? Can you see them? But why do we believe? Because our master, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has told us this, so we believe this. So if you believe this, the Rasulullah said that morning and evening do dhikr, then why don't you do dhikr if you believe? Oh, imagine. That's why we have lost and failed. We don't have preparation. We don't repeat this and revise this. This is where we deceive ourselves. That Allah's Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what a beautiful preparation he's formulated for us. That morning and evening do dhikr, well, end of story. Whoever has prepared for the hereafter like this, dunya and akhirah, he is successful, the person. Such successful that after dying, even in the world, people will remember him, even after dying. Why? Because he had yaqeen, belief. Rasulullah said, morning and evening do dhikr. He left everything for that time. Morning and evening, finish everything, all other actions, due to one action, morning and evening, the Rasulullah has prescribed a Nabi, just one action, do dhikr of Allah, morning and evening. Do you understand what I'm saying? The words? So straightforward, simple Islam. So he has a link with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He has yaqeen that from his beautiful words, he said this statement. No mufti, not a maulana, not a lama sahib. No one else is saying this. Direct Rasulullah, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is telling us this. That I am telling you, prescribing to you, and Allah Ta'ala, great, that Allah Ta'ala's love for his Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam is amazing, beyond comprehension. Sometimes Allah says, Qul lahu, my Nabi, you speak. I don't need to speak at all. You speak, my Nabi. Imagine the style of the Quran. Allah steps back himself. Allah says, I feel that you speak, my Nabi. Why? Because whatever you say is confirmed by your Rabb as well. Subhanallah. Atiullah, faqad. What's the Allah Ta'ala says? Atiullah, faqad ata Allah. That if you obey Rasulullah, it means you've obeyed Allah. Imagine the condition Allah's put down, the relationship with his Nabi. That Allah says, if you obey my Nabi, then you've obeyed Allah. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me, am I right or am I wrong? I'm not talking about sects and groups and firqa. This is muhabbat, isn't it? Muhabbat. Is the muhabbat increasing or is it going down? Tell me. That's all it is. That's all it is. So we need muhabbat, we need love. We are desperate for it. Is this not the case? Look here. We sat down. The angel comes, the person's lying down, the angels, karam and kabatibin, we know they are with us. We believe this because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us this. So we believe it. Great statement. So the two angels are here. These two angels, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when a person becomes mature, then Allah assigns those two angels to you. Why? Before you're balik, before you mature, you don't have them. But when you become mature, the work starts. Because then it's compulsory on you. Do you understand? Lagu. Imposed on you. What? Allah's ahkams, his rules are imposed on you. Salah, fasting, hajj, this sin, leave this, do this, do this. Because you're balik, girl and boy. So your life, awareness, consciousness has started the journey. Before that, what were you? Before that, responsibility was there. Was on who? The mother and the father. That you, they had to prepare the child until maturity. So what game did the parents play with the kid? How much did they show maal? How much sins did they show to the children? How much those words and actions did they show to the child? How much did they equip the child? Or did they spoil his deen? Or the tarbiyat of the child? Did they prepare the child in the style that the two angels are about to come to our child when he becomes mature and his life will stop? Mother and father, did they ever think like this and do tarbiyat of the child like this properly? Yes, so which Nabi do you follow then if we didn't do this? Tell me. Which Nabi? Look how Allah's Nabi has given us a standard, and every Sahabi, Allah Ta'ala, Allah's Nabi, the preparation, every Sahabi, every companion had this preparation that he was prepared, he was made ready to remember the Akhirah, the hereafter. Never. Look, most of all, the biggest message and tarbiyah that Rasulullah did with his companions was what? The same training. He taught them that don't have muhabbat of the world in your heart. Always Rasulullah focused and educated the Sahaba. Don't be focused on the dunya, be focused on the hereafter. Prepare for the hereafter. Once there was a very precious, valuable, you could say wealth came to the Prophet from some other lands. And it came into the treasury and the Sahaba were sitting and subhanAllah, the companions, you know that their clothes, and they were simple clothes. If they had an item, a garment on the top, they didn't have it. The bomb, if there was a bomb, they didn't have enough clothes. They saw such a valuable asset. All the Sahaba, they started to hold that thing and look at it, thing that is valuable. It went to a third Sahabi, fourth Sahabi. When the Sahaba started to look at that treasure, then the Sheikh was sat there, the teacher. SubhanAllah. Look at the tarbiyah, the teaching, the education. Soon as the Prophet of Allah saw that the Sahaba, their taste and their focus is changing and may not be detached from the Akhirah, Rasulullah said, oh my Sahaba, do you like this? This is hadith I'm sharing with you. Hadith. Ya Rasulullah, it's very good, like silky, nice clothes, very valuable cloth, and it's in the hands of all the Sahaba. And the Prophet said, let me tell you one thing. Allah's Nabi said, let me tell you one thing. You know, the companions were there, and the Prophet ﷺ said that this cloth that you are looking at, you know, this person Sa'ad, is he in Jannah? They said, yes. He said, I can see him. Allah's Nabi ﷺ said. The companion didn't say that, how are you looking at him? Where are you looking at him from? Why are you looking at him? Who told you this? It's bid'ah, innovation. No one question. Amana wa sadaqna. We hear and we believe. That you, O Prophet of Allah, saying this, may our parents be sacrificed upon you. That's it. He said, I can see Sa'ad. And Sa'ad, the cloth that's been given to Sa'ad for wiping and cleaning, just a normal handkerchief in Jannah that's been given to him. He said, this silk, that this cloth that you are holding, 10,000 times greater is the handkerchief just for wiping. And that's how the Sahaba moved that cloth away and said, Astaghfirullah. No one went close to that silky and expensive cloth. It kept on staying on the ground and it rotted away. No one even touched it after that. It said, Hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Look at the dunya in this way. And this is what the mashayikh do. This is what the mashayikh do. The shaykh is he that he instills that he doesn't put even one ounce of the dunya muhabbat in the heart of the student. Say subhanAllah. Yes, I'm not emphasizing so much with you. Yeah, I'm not a magician that I'm just blowing the horn. Yes, is there muhabbat or love we're discussing? Yes. It's all about love and bringing us together and understanding. So, our faqirs, that's the tradition when you go to the shaykh, then how dare we don't go there made up nicely and glowing and libas. No, no, no. When you go to the shaykh, then become like a fakir, a beggar, and go, I learned this and I'm sharing that with you. Yes, don't go there thinking this jacket and show off. Hide all these things for Eid. Hide all these things for Eid. Adab, the manners in the company of the fakir, the shaykh was there, you are prepared for one thing, the human being was that, then your heart, the love of the dunya shouldn't come at all. The muhabbat of the dunya shouldn't come close to you. This is the Quran, that's what is teaching us, the Quran. Examples. One third of the Quran is based on this subject, this message. One third of the Quran. Why? Because the time has come. The person's lying down. He's dying. Let me keep on carrying on that hadith, isn't it? I was sharing the hadith with you. person's passing away, Malakul Maut comes, the angel of death. And you have the two angels on the right, one on the left. Salam, dua, and the angels are watching, because the angels look at each other. We can't see them, but the angels, Kiramul Kadmin, and you say he's died, but he's alive. He's still alive, he's just become alive. That person who's passing away, they say he's alive now, the reality. So Kiramul Katibin, and they're on one side, and Malakul Maut, the angel of death, and there's the man who's dying. Then the dialogue starts. And who's explaining this? Who's one explaining this? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling us what's happening in that scene. Information's coming. Yes, what's happening in that scene? Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam. And Malakul Maut, Karamun Kadabin are saying to the angel of death, they say, have you come to take his life? He says, yes, I've come, his time's expired. They say, okay, very good. His life is well. But before you go, angel of death, that, can you take some advice from us? Say, subhanallah. This will happen with me and you. And look how much connection we have with our angels that are with us. Do you keep your angels happy? They are with you, these angels. Yeah, we have become apes and monkeys. Have we ever spoken to these angels that are with you on the right and left? Have you been ashamed with the angel on your left? Whilst you sin, have you felt ashamed with the angel on your right? You. I'm not saying to you, astaghfirullah. I'm just discussing as a style of talking. I'm not addressing you directly in front of me. Have we ever thought and analyzed that what are these angels next to me looking at? The left angel, what's he doing? And have I kept it busy? I'm keeping the angel on the left busy. Isn't it? We don't know nothing at all about the preparation. What's cooked today? Oh, alu and eggs and chicken, and put some turnips in there and pindiya all day long. We know nothing about life. There's nothing in our lives that we know about what's going on hereafter. We're living a weird life. It's just passing the time. This much I've got, this much money, this much money, this much. Nothing else we know at all. This is a hal, then through sicknesses someone's dying, hairs are white, beards are long, body's weak, hands are shaking. Those people I saw when they were young. Why have you come? Oh, I've come here, I want to get married. Mashallah, young, fit and strong. Now they're all weak. Their children are grown up, they're getting married, they've got children now. It says, in front of me, I've seen this, I'm sharing that with you. So we're still trusting on this dunya, this world. That person who's in front of me has passed away. And he can't return to this dunya. A person who's passed away in front of me. Yes, that his young life, our young life will never come back. Our middle age will never come back. Yes, our body, it keeps on leaving us every day. It's going down, diminishing, diminishing. Never will it return the previous days. The thing that's gone, it keeps on going. The weakness keeps coming. The strength keeps going. The weakness keeps coming. This is dunya. The dunya is telling us ourselves, that stupid person, the thing you love, the dunya. I will share with you a statement of my Hazrat Sahib. He said, the thing that is going, that's dying, you are dying for that. He said, oh stupid people, the thing that is dying itself, you are dying for that. Oh foolish people, the thing that's finishing itself, you are finishing yourself for that. The thing that's passing away itself in front of you is disappearing. You are dying for that. You are dying for this dunya. So he's asked. They say, the angels, Kiramul Katibin, to Malakul Maud, the angel of death, that can you listen to some advice, feedback that we'd like to give you? We're not with him from just today. We have been with this colleague of ours from day one. And this is the words of the Prophet. They say that most of all the company of a human being, most of all is friends, mother, father, sister, brother, most of all compared to these relatives is with these two angels, is our most of our sohbat in life. That everything of our life they know. But we don't know these angels, Allah, because we don't believe in the Quran. We read the Quran, but we don't accept, we're not aware of what the Quran is telling us. We repeat it, we recite it, that's it. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't understand what I'm saying. Is there some weaknesses coming up now? Look how much weak we are. So much weakness that we don't know the angels who are with us. Those angels who are most of all with us through our whole life, more than anyone else we know. And mostly to Allah, these two angels, Kiramul Kabitameen, will present our whole life to Allah. It will be these angels who will disclose all the facts to Allah. What's our connection with these angels? So the angels say, one minute, angel of death, because he says, no, time short, I can't wait. They say, no, just listen to us. So the angels, we believe the angels in it. Who's telling us this? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us this. I'm not telling you this. So he said, please, listen to us. Quickly, quickly, they say to the angel, he says, okay, what is it? What's your connection with this person? Because Malikul Maut has come, he's from the legs, he's going to pull the ruh from the neck, he's going to take the ruh out, the body. Let's take the life away. They say, quickly, before you do that, ask us, he's our man, say the angel, subhanAllah. He's our man. Yeah? Look how Rasul said that, you keep on pulling his ruh, but he's our man. The angel say, you keep dragging him, taking his life, but he's our man. You're taking him from us, at least ask us about this person that you're taking. So he thinks Malikul Maut, the angel of death. He says, okay, tell me, what is it? What's the matter? Quickly, I've got to take his life. I've been given the instruction. I've got to go other places. They say, this man that you're taking, do you know who this is? Say, subhanAllah. Subhanallah. They say, do you know who this man is? This is that person who used to go Bolton and do dhikr. Subhanallah. Yes, they will say this. It's not a joke, I'm telling you. It's not a joke. Then you will realize, my sons, that the dhikr of Allah, what is the power of the dhikr of Allah? They'll say, you don't know angel of death, this man. Did you ever bump into him in the life? He'll say, angel of death, who is he? They'll say, I don't know. I just take the ruh out and that's it. And I take the life. The order I've been given, I just take the life out. So you tell me quickly what you want to say. The angels say that we know his secret, subhanAllah. The angels say, we know everything. They look after him. This is our solid colleague and friend. You know who this is? They say, Karamun Kadameen. They have a status. They're big angels. Big status. They're sat there. They're listening. Are you? Are you listening? They're listening. MashaAllah. Very good, very good. Look, they're listening as well while we're speaking. Big status. So they say, the Karamul Kadameen, listen, Malikul Maut, this man, your life you're taking, he's a very good, these are the words of the, he's our colleague, he favors us, and he loves us, he likes us. Then Malikul Maut shakes away, he says, is it? They say, yes. Karamul Kadameen say, yes. Then they come to the other point. That we do dua for this person, now he's leaving us, the tears are dropping from the angels. Such a great companionship, such a great friendship, such a great mohsin of ours. These are the words of the angels. He's leaving us. And we are being detached from him. After so many years, you are taking him away from us. We're being detached from him. Then those angels in front of Malikul Maut, they say these words. Thou Allah, forgive this person. Allah, please be happy with him forever. Allah, forgive his sins. Jannah, paradise, give him the highest status. Allah, the angels make this dua. These are not my words. If these words are said by the angels for me and you, imagine the success. Will we be successful then? Everything, all the houses, assets, buildings of the world will disappear on this one sentence. By who? The angels on our right and left. When will they say this? When will they say this? Do you understand what I'm saying or not? Yes. They say that this is a very valuable person. The angels say they are doing dua for that man. That person. And who is saying this? Who are giving the duas? And who is saying Ameen? Malikul Maut. Subhanallah, the angel of death is saying Ameen. He's forgotten his job. He's forgotten his job. Imagine that personality of that person who's dying, where Malikul Maut forgets his Ameen. Do you want to become like this? Then do one action from now. What action is that? Don't forget your return trip. Don't forget your return trip. Keep remembering the return trip. Then, he says, is it? Then they speak further than this. Then they speak to him. They say, Yaar, you are very good. Who do they say this to? Yeah, Malikul Maut, step back. Now they're saying to that person who's dying. How dare you? Don't be scared. Don't be afraid. You are our mohsin. You are our colleague. You had a lot of favors on us. They say this to the man, the Karamul Kadameen. They say, Yaar, Allah gave us a duty, a task. It was a very strict duty, hard duty. And 80 years, we were ground down, said the angels. Very hard work. But it's due to your favor. Your friendship was so good, Yaar. You are a very good human being, my friend, the angels will say to him. The dying person, such good actions you did, good amal. Such preparation you made, that you never gave us a chance that we could lose track of recording the good things we're doing. So say, subhanAllah. And due to your preparation, due to good deeds and pious deeds, what was our situation? That our job was such, alhamdulillah, that we were never lazy from our dhikr. Say the angels. Our marifa connection with Allah increased and increased. We had such a food that you gave to us that we used to keep doing our work. We had strict work to do. But you were such a good human being that always after living with you we had no pain or difficulty. Our wazaif, zikr, tasbihat and the zikrullah, which is our food. There was nothing lacking in our lives. Always you were giving us. These are the words of the hadith. For which amal? Dhikr, 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 subhanallah. Where is this happening? Which maqam is this discussion at the time of death? Death is taking place, his ruh is being extracted, the angels are stood there, and people are crying there, oh my piyar, oh my brother, oh my chacha, oh my uncle, he's dying. Oh, dig his grave, someone will be doing this, he's dead, he's deceased, someone's doing khatam, someone's doing this. But the real scene is taking place, the Rasulullah is telling us in the hadith, no one teaches us this though. No one listens to this, we don't want to listen to this stuff. You don't understand what I'm saying? So this will happen with me and you when? When? Remember the return trip. There's no guarantee you might turn around from here. Once there was a brother here, sat here doing dhikr. He was in front of me, with me. He sat on the chair doing dhikr in the gathering. Next day I came and I think that maybe Mangera, I think it was. They said there was that man. I said, I think it was this brother who told me. He said, there was that brother. I said, who? He said, he used to sit here, you know, and do dhikr. He said, this is janaza. And I said, janaza? Now? Yes. Yes, he's passed away. Yes, 3-4 years ago this happened. Sudden. Morning, in the evening I saw him here, in the majlis, fine, fit, morning. He's in the janaza. In the grave. Why? Preparation. This is how we have to go. This is how a human being will depart. What's our preparation mean, you tell me? What's our preparation that we've done? For departing and returning. So when this happened, this situation, and so much praise, then the angel of death said, ooh, this man was like this. This is this individual. Look what's happening here. This scene is playing out. So Malakul Maut came forward. He said, Yar, you have got great praise here from these angels. Listen then what I say to you. I know what's going to happen to you afterwards. I know what was to happen. So I'll tell you now. That now you listen to this, says Malakul Maut. That until now your life, all the days that have come, you were king, wazir, minister, you had money, status, respect, all the goodness you had in the world. He said, now the time that's coming to you, now the time that will come to you, remember this, that most beautiful and haseen and excellent time you will never have seen in your life. Yes, and the person who's dying, he said, forget the fear and being afraid. Before this, the angel of death says that you, the days that will come now after you die, a brilliant time will come for you. He says, Rahmah is about to rain down upon you. Jannah, the beautiful fragrance and scent of Jannah will rain down upon you. The hoors are waiting for you. The palaces are constructed and waiting for you. The guests are waiting for you. And the last statement, listen of this hadith, that your Lord, your Creator, your Lord is waiting for you and He is happy with you. Subhanallah. Radiyatam maradiyya Allahu Akbar. What's left after that for that person? We are crying, khatam, this and that. Yes, that's what's happening everywhere, isn't it, when a person passes away. Then the announcement comes of crying. And they take him, then there's crying from all four sides. Allah Ta'ala says, what's happened to you? Why are you crying? Hadith. The trees crying, earth's crying, plants crying, animals crying, the heavens are crying, the skies are crying, the earth's crying, the land's crying. Why are you crying? Allah Ta'ala says, so beloved, such a good man, Allah, you've taken him from us. The world says, the earth is crying. Allah says, is it? You really love this individual? They say, Allah, Allah, he gave us life. The earth will say, the world will say, that this good man gave us life. He fulfilled the likings in our hearts. We had attraction to him. Rahmah used to descend upon us. Mercy, your fadl, your grace, Allah, due to this human being used to come to us. Allah says, what did he do? Listen, I'm telling you the summary of the hadith, my brothers. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. Allah says, what did this man do that you love him so much? You're crying and shrieking. The world, the earth will say, Allah, he did the action due to which we got life, we got vitality, we got life and sustenance, provisions. That Allah, the life came upon us. The spring came. Allah says, what did he do? What did he do that you are so upset after he dies? They'll say, Allah, the world will say, Allah, that whenever he passed on top of us, whenever he passed by us, whenever he was near to us, then he used to perform your dhikr, your remembrance, Allah. وَذْكُرُوا كَثِيرًا لَلَكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Allah's Nabi says, did he say these words for nothing? Why do I say, do dhikr kathir when you live in the world, which is guarantee? Then when you do the dhikr of Allah, remembrance of Allah, the Quran's given us this guarantee. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ لَقِيَامًا وَقَعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Subhan. When a human being remembers Allah, then his body calls out that everything around me is a waste of time. The reality is, Allah, that you are the reality. Allah, you are the reality. Allah's zikr is the action that makes a human being honestly, genuinely, correctly prepare for the hereafter. He's stuck in the trap and the nets of the world. He breaks those traps and nets. وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَلَكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Quran says this. So Allah hasn't said nothing. That Allah Ta'ala doesn't need our dhikr, does he? Why has Allah told us to do his dhikr? We are desperately in need for it. That in this dunya, to get out of the trap of this world is very hard. We are hearing this now. When you go out in the dunya, the love will overtake us again. The attraction of the world will overtake us. Money will overtake us again. Maal will overtake us. The wife, children will be immersed in that dunya again. But remember, as long as practically look, Islam, what does it teach us? It's not enough to listen. Listening, you become numb. Listening. It's about amal, doing. Doing is give success. So the real listening person is, after listening, he comes into the amal phase. Practical phase. He has fulfilled the right, the ni'mah, the haq that Allah Ta'ala gave him to listen. He has practiced that physically. Otherwise, that person loses. Allah says, I gave him the tawfiq to listen. And this jahil, his heart did not shake. This jahil became more hard his heart afterwards, after listening. Allah says, give him punishment then, for he didn't practice. Summun bukumun umyun fahumla. Allah says, seal his heart, seal his ears, seal his life, and remove the ilm from that person. His Rabb has given him tawfiq, ability, he's allowed to listen, and after listening, he gets rid of that. He's joking with his Rabb, and mocking his Rabb. He's playing games with his Lord. He's challenging his Creator. I don't feel like it. I'll do it one day. He says, the sister, oh, when I feel like it, I'll do it. Oh, this is the excuse. Munafiqat and hypocrisy. And excuses. And shaitaniyat. This is the deen and the life of the human being. Tell me. Yes, that with the gift that Allah has given to us, will we be able to return in a way that the angels will be praising us? Which ibadah, what actions will benefit us? Tell me right now. It's hadith I'm telling you now. This is the first stage of the tamdid. The hadith says the next stage. The person who passes this stage, the next phase is after that, you will succeed if you succeed here. This is the real situation. This is the real situation. No dhikr in our lives. No, don't know what is dhikr, what is the objective. We do dhikr, we want to become wali Allah, want to be khalifa, want to run the khanka, and shaitani thoughts are embedded in us like this. We have no understand the objective. We read the Quran, we don't know the objective of the Quran. Why am I reading the Quran? What's the objective? What's the intention? We don't even know. We do dhikr, we don't know the reason for doing dhikr, we don't know the objective of doing dhikr. There's one objective, remember this, that keep remembering the return trip. Tickets confirmed, we are preparing for the akhirah, for the return. We're doing dhikr for the hereafter. Why? Because Rasulullah said that dhikr is the one action that trap and the net of the world, you're stuck in the love of the world, you can break and tear that net away, so that we don't need nothing else from dhikr apart from that. That's it. End of story. Then the dunya will not come close to you. So make this intention that I sat down in zikr with this niyyah. Keep repeating that niyyah in the zikr of Allah. Keep reading. Allah Maksuri, we say, our Mashayikh Naqshbandi, they tell us is recite this. Recite this. That Raza Maksudi Allah, Allah anta maqsoodi, razaqa maqsoodi. Allah that you are maqsood, then do maraqba, then say it again, then do maraqba again, then say it again, then do Allah again, then make the niya, anta maqsoodi, Allah anta, you are razaqa matlubi. We need you Allah, we need you, we don't want dunya at all. Anta matlubi Allah, you are the objective Allah, we want your happiness. That's the reason why we are doing zikr. That's the intention. We have to eliminate the dunya and connect to our Rabb. That's zikr of Allah that makes us detach from the dunya and prepare for the after. There's the amal. You can't just listen to dhikr and you leave the swab. This is not Islam. Islam isn't listening. Islam is that action which was the Islam of the Sahaba. They nodded their head, they listened, they picked their heads up, and then they practiced after that what they had heard. They used to listen, they were immersed, they used to enjoy the whole body. They didn't listen from their ears, say Subhanallah, the Sahaba. From their hearts they used to listen. Tasawwur, the Rasulullah's words would penetrate their heart. The sight was low, but Naqshbandi, just like we, why is a person a Naqshbandi? Because in the heart, the Naqsh imprinted is the love of Allah on the heart. Allah, you say that and you imprint that name on Allah's, on your heart. That's called Naqshbandi. What else is Naqshbandi? Tell me. Imprinting that on the heart. Yes, so you've got stuck today next to a good person, huh? Good words. Good deception. They'll say, do this now, do 3 tasbihs, do 5 tasbihs, do 10 tasbihs, la ilaha illallah, and you're successful. And you got khilafat, and you are khalifa, and you're khalifa, and go the end of story. Yes. Oh, he's giving me khilafat. I say, oh, khalifa bhai. Do you tell me first sabak? Oh, no, sabak. I just want khilafat. I want to be a deputy. Okay, fine. Yes, now you carry on and you make a khanka and make your fame, and he's gone and disappeared. So you have got stuck with a good person. Good person. Okay? Yeah, we don't follow traditions. Islam is too high. And it's the Islam of the Sahaba. Listen. And after listening, be grateful to Allah, do shukr of Allah. And how do you be grateful to Allah? Do amal. If you don't practice, then you are ungrateful. Layla ma tashkurun Allah says in the Quran, there are very few people who are really grateful to Allah. There are many who listen. There are many who listen. You can go gathering, big gathering speeches. You can print some posters, leaflets, speeches, conference announce. People come. People start coming. You'll get food after that. You get this and that. You get food. Okay, let's go. They don't know what they're speaking about, and they don't know what they're listening to. Say Subhanallah. You upset with what I'm saying? Are you upset with what I'm saying? Huh? So is this not the case? It's happening. Why? Because there's no method. There's no benefit. So they talk about this person, that person. You get people laugh. Sometimes they cry. Sometimes then everyone goes back to their house and eating. Oh, I enjoyed that too. Oh, it was so funny. It was good. It was exciting. No. Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke, then they used to cry. Quran was coming into the lives of the Sahaba. Wahi was descending. Wahi. Yes, Allah Ta'ala, He gave the knowledge, and the fakirs, the beggars, they were there outstretched. Abu Huraira, they ask him, that dirty sheet, that there were insects crawling. Has Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, how many hadith has he narrated? Ask the respected scholars, count how many hadith are coming from Has Abu Huraira. We read Sahih Bukhari and other collections. How many hadith? Abu Huraira. How did they all arrive to us, the hadith? How did he learn them? Where did he learn them from? Yes, Rasulullah said, stretch out your sheet. Who said this? The beloved Nabi says, that spread out your sheet, Abu Huraira, I can see you have passion and desire. He spread his sheet out, and there were insects crawling that torn sheet, torn his cloth. Why? Because the sheikh, the teacher, had removed the love of the world from his heart. He said, the good things won't come in. Don't come with color and stuff. He said to the Sahaba, torn clothes, simplicity, humility. If you come wearing torn clothes, you'll be the richest people in the world. Not fussy and having haughtiness and pride. So Rasulullah said, spread out your cloth, your sheet. He said, bring it closer to me. Abu Huraira said that after that, I never forgot a hadith after that day. All ilm, he wrapped it up. How did Rasulullah give the knowledge to his blessed Sahaba? Look at his focus, his vision, his sight. On one side, on the Sahaba, all the hadith, more than 100,000 hadith, all of those went into that cloth. In one hit, in one sight, with one vision. And the Ashiq said that he then gathered that cloth back. And he became the muhaddith. He became the muhaddith. Why? Because the love they desired it. They were desperate, the sahaba. They wanted to acquire. Today is the same. If you go to a sheikh, if you want to learn, you can learn the ilm. Acquire the ilm. You want to become a human being? You can become this. It doesn't take long, my friends. Question doesn't arise. Why? Because the silsila is the same order from the back, from the beginning of time. Yes, the Rasulullah ﷺ, Allah said in the Quran, "Oh my beloved Prophet, the believing woman will come to you, give them bayah." So then when the Rasulullah ﷺ left, he gave that word to the mashayikh, that man will come from Delhi, Saharanpur, from UP, Uttar Pradesh, from here, from there, from Pakistan. When the student comes to you, you buy unuka, then give them bayah and enable them to do tawbah, repent. The Quran is saying this. And take the promises from them. You won't do this sin, you won't do this sin, you won't do this sin. When they make those promises, we won't do this, fil ma'roof, then give them the bayah, pledge of allegiance, and then reward. Allah says, when they make these promises, the students, and where's the sheikh doing the bayah? In Bolton, with the student. In Birmingham, in Burnley, wherever he sits, the sheikh, and gives the bayah with the student. Then the Quran's instruction is what? Wherever you sit and a person does tawbah, repents at your hand of the teacher, the Quran says that Allah's Nabi Sassam will raise his hands for dua in Medina. The Quran's telling us this. The Allah Ta'ala says, "Inna Allah ghafoorur raheem." The sheikh, why does he enable a student to do tawbah? The student is doing tawbah. Allah's Nabi some reason says, Allah says, "Inna Allah, most definitely now look at the glory of the Creator. Ghafoor, all his sins forgiven. Whatever he did before that, gone. Look at this." So this is preparation, my brothers. Preparation. Getting ready. Say subhanAllah. So that person is free. Then the second person, that person who didn't prepare for this. So first example is the person who prepared. The person who played games in the world, lost in the dunya, maal, money, wealth, doctor, engineer, this and that, profession, career. All of these things in the world are what? They are the necessities of the world. Even a person who is a simple man, he will eat bread. A rich man will eat bread. Same. And if he wastes his life, a person who is a sahabi, he didn't waste his life. He prepared for his death. Just a point's coming in my mind, I'll share that with you now. A point's coming in my mind for your benefit. That what happened, what is this masala about death? What's this question about preparation for death? What is this point? It says, coming in my mind, I'll share that with you before I go. Say subhanAllah. Good points, good words being discussed. You like what I'm saying? Then put your hands up if you like what I'm saying. Yes, very good, you like what I'm saying. Okay, let's carry on. So if I think maybe I'm just wasting my time, you don't understand what I'm saying, what's the benefit of that? Yes, well, I don't want to give a speech. I want us to discuss the points that we learn. Anyway, so carrying on. So the second example of the second person now. The person who was wandering around the world playing games, sometimes praying, sometimes not praying, sometimes doing this, I'm this, I'm that. No preparation, no return trip, done hips of Quran, learn everything, no amal on the Quran, no preparation, no practice. This is the second party. There's a party like this, isn't it? He has to die as well. Is not everybody going to die? He also has to die. So Malikul Maud comes, angel of death, to that person. And the two angels are there. And they say, just stop, say, angel of death. Let us introduce this person to you. Just like they introduced the first person. The angels also, with the second person, the angel of death say, what's this introduction? They'll say, lanat on this person. What did they say first? Mercy of Allah. With the first person. Look at the big difference. Why? Because the first person prepared. He and this second person didn't prepare in the world. So keep on analyzing ourselves now. What sabak are we taking from this discussion? A very valuable night tonight. Very valuable night. The world will change. Your life will change. The laziness will come out of your life, my friends. Yes, remember this. Big, big message Allah Ta'ala is giving to us tonight. Not me. I'm not giving this. What is this? Allah's favor, massive favor that He's enabling me to say such great things. Oh, I could be a mufti, azam, scholar, and they'll say, all he talks and he sits on the stages, talks the same subject. Obviously, that's their true duty, you know, the Mulana sahab, mufti sahab, wherever they see member, they see kala kala, Rasulullah sallam, etc., etc. And me, I'm nothing at all. Yes? So I'm not equivalent to that. This is a different discussion we're having here. So pay attention more to what I'm saying. Yes, that's a different topic entirely. Right, today. So, second person, the angels say, wretched, curse be this person. May he be wretched and cursed. And may Allah forgive us for having that example. May Allah forgive. May Allah forgive and save every Muslim from this second example. It's a very serious situation, extremely serious situation. He's lying down, angels are standing, angel of death is standing, Karamat Maratibin is standing, and Malik al-Maut say, huh? They'll say, Lanat on this person, curse on this person. Then the second thing they'll say. Yeah, just like they did dua for that person, they'll say for this second person, Allah, no, forgive this person. Allah, don't forgive his sins. Allah, give him a place in hell. Allah, destroy this person. They'll say. These are the words they are uttering for the second example. The angels are there. An angel of death is watching, witnessing this third statement. They say, look what they said for the first person, what they're saying for the second person. Then they address, just like they address the first one, they say, oh, Zaleel Insan, oh, wretched man, you put us into so much difficulty. The first example, they said, oh, good man, you give us peace and favor in your life, because he was preparing for the hereafter. So they had no worries. But the second person, they're Zalim, you oppressor. You are enjoying your life in the world. This is my dunya. This is my house. Detached house I want to construct. Let's extend this a bit more. 4 or 5 rooms and I'll be happy. Take this person's money. Eat this person's money. Grab this person's thing. Usurp his possessions. Take over his house. They go into that person's house and take over it. This is us. How did this become yours? This is my house. And they say, no, it's mine. This is happening nowadays as well. Tell me. The house, there's a human being, he's his home. This is a fact. It's his own home. It's his asset. It's his property, his own furniture. And the other person from another house comes in, it's mine. These are my items. They're all mine now. How did they become yours? It's mine. He says, it's mine. And that person in the house, the householder, what does he do? Then the hadith comes. He says, very good opportunity. Oh, this is quarrel and fight. This is my house. And you third party saying, it's mine. This is mine. Where's your share in this? How can this be yours? Think about it. Where's he coming to take over? Yes. Yes, that person, the household owner, he says, good opportunity. I'm preparing for thereafter. Very good chance here. What? Listen to the hadith. That a person who, his haq, the person who leaves his haq, his right to save the people from the fighting and quarreling. Yes, to save from fighting and quarreling. If he gives up his haq, his own property, then Allah, the property and mansion that Allah makes for him won't be in paradise. They'll be on the banks, the beautiful coastline of paradise. He'll say, okay, fine, you take my property, no problem. You take it. I don't want it. He grabs hold, takes over, and he says, right, I've taken your property. He says, no, you take it. No worries, you take it. For the sake of Jannah. By force, he takes it. The whole year, he's knocking on the door, asking, but he knew the hadith that this maqam again hereafter, the whole Ramzan's gone. The person can't sleep. Machine is printing in the same house. After every 10 minutes, open the door. The whole Ramadan, 1 year's passed, but no criticism. That no, we won't open it. It's Ramadan, we're sleeping, we're tired. In Ramadan, the person rests, isn't it? He needs to have some rest. He has some actions to, but no, he can't. People are forcing oppression. What is this? So these are the two things. Either you understand what I'm saying, what should you do? Preparation for the hereafter. And you just give up. Or the second person prepares for Jahannam. So there's a difference. So there's a difference here, isn't it? So it's a great opportunity. So learn and understand from this. Such opportunities. Think immediately that what am I getting for the hereafter from this example? What does Allah Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? That in the coastline of Jannah, on the banks of Jannah, oh, you say, what loss is only my house that's going, my furniture, my items. No worries. You take it. This is ajeeb, unique hadith. Yeah, brilliant hadith. That on the banks of Jannah. What's the banks of Jannah? Where you the person get house? The subhanallah, he'll get the palace, the mansion on the banks of Jannah. Then? So you say, okay, when he's being cursed, that person, he'll say, so they're addressing that person. Oh, you immodest person. You put us into difficulty, the angel will say. You made us zaleel. You didn't do good action yourself. And all our deeds, you wasted our time. We never got time to do dhikr. You put us into difficult position. We're always paying attention to you. Dirty actions you were doing. Dirty actions you were doing. You distracted us, say the angels. And they give him baddua. They curse him. Malik al-Maut, angel says, you stand back. He says, oi. They listen carefully now. The angel of death will say to that person, may Allah forgive, may Allah forgive. Look at that time. And he's lying there. He's dying. And people around him are crying. Do khatam for this person, that poor soul. They're doing khatam for him. But do you understand what I'm saying now? Do, that's when you'll realize that human being who he remembers Allah in the morning, he is successful. Allah's Nabi said that Hazrat Fatima Zahra, his beloved daughter, the Fatima Emily. Fatima, practice, don't think that you are the daughter of the Nabi, the Prophet. This is hadith. The maqam, how great a woman she was, the woman of paradise, and the warning that she received, that do amal, Emily Fatima, my daughter, practice. Tarbiyah, he educated her. Our sheikh, he said, oh, I'll do everything for you, don't worry my student, I'll look after you, you do what you want, leave your salah, no worries, just give my name. That's what they say nowadays. Yes? Listen, be grateful, be millions of times grateful that until today we've got this gathering, this majlis, we've heard these words, do amal and practice on these words. Sa'im mashkura. Allah Ta'ala says, I like that thing. Not that you couldn't practice, but one thing I like very much, Allah says that after you heard something good, that somehow you broken way, somehow you stumbled and tried. Sometimes a man drops, he walks, he drops, he walks. Allah says, I like it. When you drop, I lift you up again. You drop down, I lift you up again, Allah says. Allah says, I don't like that person. Always he keeps sitting down. Keep trying, Allah says. Keep trying, making effort. Okay, fine, you're in the dunya. There are circumstances, hardship, difficulty, problems, ups, downs, sometimes your heart doesn't feel like it, challenges, broken down effort, keep on trying, Allah says, that's it. Don't stop trying. Not this, that I'll be perfect, then I'll practice when I get time, then I'll practice, then I'll sit down with ease and practice. Not at all. You're at the shop, you're working, you don't have time, then do your tasbihs total at the shop. You're speaking to the customer and you complete your tasbih. Allah says, wah, mashallah, how you remembered me, that you've not left the dunya, nor have you left the hereafter. But no, I don't have enough time, I want to sit down with ease at home. Allah says, that time will never come. I'll go back again, I'll practice again when it's better. No. In the morning you can't go, I can't come, then at least during the day, or if I can't go every day, 3, 4 days, 2 days in the week, I will go. You are making the schedule for the sake of the hereafter preparation. If you want to be successful, these both hadith I've shared with you. Now listen, yes, time is not, there are many words, many good things I want to say, but I'll summarize because we have to discuss the return ticket. What did Allah Ta'ala say to us? Prepare for the death. Prepare for the death. How? Allah says in the Quran, how much of the Quran? 1/3 of the Quran. Big, big message. Yes? So then the dunya is gone, isn't it? If Allah is telling us to prepare for the hereafter, do we think when we hear these words, that preparation for death means that leave the world, leave the dunya. When you speak to someone, oh, should we leave the world? That's the first thing he says, oh, should we leave our life in the world then for the hereafter and just run after deen? And these are the statements people utter. Oh, keep on practicing deen. When will we work in the world? When we will have a career? Or don't do this, someone says to somebody. Oh, we can't do anything about it. The husband's going on the path of deen. The wife says, you're just practicing Islam, just Islam. What will happen to our kids? And thousands of issues, and the list is given to the husband. But subhanAllah, Allah's principles and laws, He has advised us, my brothers. Allah Ta'ala doesn't do zulm on anybody. Allah Ta'ala doesn't oppress anybody. Allah has given you stomach, He'll give you the bread as well. The necessities of life Allah has given, Allah will fulfill those necessities. Everything Allah will give to you that you require in the world. If Allah has given breath, you need to breathe to live, then Allah has given us the wind, the air to breathe. If Allah has given us thirst, then He's given us water to drink. Is this not the case? Allah, if we need to breathe, Allah has given us oxygen. Allah has given us carbon dioxide. Allah has given us all the resources, whatever we as our bodies need, Allah has given to us. He gives, and we take. So, maut, preparation for death, then what's the problem about this then? SubhanAllah, listen. Preparing for death is such a case, an example, every companion did this. And didn't just do it, they gave their whole life, because the sheikh, his reflection, his whole effort was that my sahaba should prepare for death and thereafter. I want them to learn this message so they can benefit the people to come after them. So did the sahaba not have dunya? Every sahabi had dunya. Did the Holy Prophet, was he a beggar? SubhanAllah, was he a beggar? The Holy Prophet says that if he wanted, he could say mountain of gold. Yeah, he was asked, do you want the mountain of gold or silver? But he was preparing for the hereafter. Did he have poverty? It was just temporary. Why did he have poverty? Because he liked the thing better with regards to the hereafter. It's a very important point. Understand this. The Prophet of Allah, the thing that he thought was better, the thing he gave preference, so the thing that Rasulullah was better and was preference, and the Holy Prophet, could there be anyone who has better taste than the Prophet of Allah? No one in the universe could have a better taste and preference than Rasulullah. So what did Rasulullah like? Instead of gold and silver, he preferred poverty and simplicity. So what we learn is that poverty and humility is much, much better than this world. Because the Prophet of Allah liked that better. So whatever the Prophet of Allah liked, then that's the best thing. So because the Sahaba were the lovers of the Prophet, so every companion Sahabi also liked that lifestyle. Those who had the wealth, even they used to live the life of poverty and humility. They said, whatever Allah Ta'ala has given to us, the money, wealth, is not to us. Allah has given it to us to distribute and spread out. And their hands always open and distributing. Their hands were light. And they never that they clenched their fists. As Abdul Rahman bin Auf, as Usman Ghani, great companions, wealthy, money, there are lots of money, but their hands were open, that they understood and they helped Islam through their money, their wealth, and they spent where Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallam asked and requested. Then Allah's Nabi Sallam gave them paradise for that money. He used to count the money and he used to do dua to the heavens for their, are there hadith on this or not? Tell me. So what was this? That there was poverty. They didn't have love for the world. Rasulullah, his preference and liking was the best liking. He could have loved the wealth, but he preferred the hereafter preparation. They remembered the return ticket. So in reality, the human being who prepares for death, what message I'm giving to you today? The human being, the individual who prepares for death, then in reality, what's he doing? He is not leaving the dunya. The world, he is receiving the dunya. He is receiving the... You don't understand what I'm saying. You don't understand. The person who prepares for the death, he receives dunya. He doesn't get less dunya. He doesn't get less dunya. He'll get guaranteed. Yet without leaving the dunya, he gets the dunya. How? رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنِيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Subhanallah. Rabbana, when a person prepares for death, then his world becomes hasana, his hereafter becomes hasana, and azabe jahannam, he's saved from the punishment of hell. So preparing for the death is not a loss. Don't think you have to leave the dunya, you won't have anything. Well, totally not. You might have physical poverty, but all the needs of the world are fulfilled. Everything will come to you, sustenance, provisions, and you'll be happy. The person who leaves the world for the sake of preparing for the hereafter, then dunya has not gone from him. His necessities will continue to come to him. Yes, maybe in a small house, it could be a big house. It's not necessary that a person as a big nice house, we say he's worldly person. No, worldly is not physical. It's an internal link. It's with the heart is the connection of the dunya. The heart. Yes? So if when a person sat in a palace, a mansion, and he's driving a Mercedes, and you say he's a worldly person, dunya, that, never say that to that person. Never say that. How do you know in his heart he doesn't have love for those things of the world that he's got? Just Allah has given him the wealth and he's using those things. And tomorrow if he doesn't have that wealth, he'll be not worried at all. He'll say, no problem at all. For him, that person, that Mercedes, for that house, for those assets, he didn't reject any laws of Allah, any orders of Allah, then that's fine. He didn't reject Allah's laws. He practiced the deen. He didn't leave his practice. He was consistent. Yes, but the greed of the world didn't come in his eyes. Just like that, something's come in his life. Allah has given him wealth. He's using that wealth. That's fine. Alhamdulillah. Gravel to Allah, Mercedes, whatever he's got. Big house, first class, nice house, nice car, nice watch. Good. Where's it come from? Allah's given it. Fine. So, but if I don't run after this my whole life and give up my life for that, rather I work and do effort for thereafter. If inshallah I have delivered this point and message, do you understand what I'm saying to you today? If only you understand what I'm saying. Not that you're saying a big house, you got a big car. That's not a problem. You can't say he's a worldly person, material person. You'll say he's a worldly person at that time. When? What's he done? He's broken the laws of Allah, the orders of Allah, and he's left the preparation for the hereafter. That person is the worldly person. Then we can say he's a dunyadar person. Yes? Because it's not the case that sometimes, listen carefully, understand, sometimes those people who are poor, who have poverty in their life, who are poor, he could be the most worldly person. Duniyadar person. Why? Because in his heart the world is embedded. Oh, if only he had this house, or if only he had this shop, or on this money, wealth. Always he's desperate, he's got nothing. Then he's the most worldly person of all. He's more worldly than that person who sat in a mansion, in a palace, in a big car, but in his heart he doesn't value or like none of those things. Was that person? He is the person who believes in the hereafter, and the first person is the person who believes and runs after the dunya. So where's the difference come? The difference comes from the love in the heart. That's why it's stated that when the heart of a person's improved, then everything in his life becomes improved and correct. And to take the dunya out of your heart, only the dhikr of Allah can do this. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So don't say tomorrow and cry, oh, he's a wali Allah, he's a zakat, he's everything, and he's dunyadar. Why? Because he's got money in his pocket, he's got worldly things. No, 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 you don't know that person. In his heart, he doesn't have no value for those things. The wala is given to him, fine, he's accepted. He's grateful, and it happens. Sometimes, I'm a businessman, so I know this. I'm a businessman. That in the shop that I'm stood, I was stopping the shop, I was running my business. £10 comes, sometimes £1,000 comes, sometimes £2,000 comes. Then I look at my condition. With the fadl of Allah, grace of Allah, nothing changed at all due to the quantity. 10, I'm happy, 1,000 or 100, and if there's nothing, I'm still happy. Who, somebody asked me that, how many years did you run the business? I said, 10 years. He said, how much is your sale? I said, my £15 turnover. He said, look at you, you've got a beard, you're lying. He said, to the neighbor, he said. I heard that. I said, first thing, it's got nothing to do with the beard lying, that the lying is done from the mouth. Why are you talking about the beard? What's it got to do with lying? I said, you stand here 1 week at my shop and then you see yourself what I'm saying. He said, okay, fine. So first I said 15, then 10 came after that, £10. He said, where do you eat from? I said, Allah gives to me. Allah gives to me. So he said that we've never seen you sad or distressed. I said, what's there to be distressed about? I said to him, what for? That if I'm not sleeping, hungry, I'm getting food to eat, everything. Then he said, take a loan. I said, I've never taken a loan. I don't know what is a loan. My life never I took a loan. Never did I ask anybody. Why? Because my sheikh said, then never take it, because in fard there's one nukta, one point, and in the loan there's two nukta, two points. Two masail. So such a great, fantastic thing is fard. Important. He said, beyond that is qarz, which is the loan, in which there are two factors, two points. Very important. I said, okay, fine. Totally, Hazrat Sahib said the right thing. Why? Because if you don't have love for anything, you have no need. Whatever's come, if it's come, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. If it's come, then you spend it. Eat and drink. And distribute and give. And feed others and eat yourself. But for this, you don't run after it and give up everything. This much needs to come. Why did this much come? Why is there less? Why no more? Sit down, count every day, compute every day, spreadsheet. Why is there less today? This is dunya. This is dunya. They'll run this business, run that business, do this. Look, everything's fine. It's running okay. What's paining you? I've got more time. If you've got more time, then do more dhikr then. Yeah? That if you've got time to make more, then prepare for the hereafter. If you've got the time and distribute. Distribute your time that way. Say subhanallah. May Allah Ta'ala accept our gathering majlis of today and the few broken points I've made that I've shared with you. If I said something wrong, I ask for forgiveness. Please forgive me. Yourselves, but I tried that I can rectify myself through this method and this dunya, this wretched dunya. Can we extract it from our hearts and Allah Ta'ala's love? Let's bring it into our hearts, into our life. The most important thing, one thing that we need to remember is what? The return trip, the ticket. Remember that. That we are to return back very soon and we need to prepare. What's our preparation? And prepare in such a way that the first dialogue, the first scene, the angels, we should be included in that scene. That's it. The angels are happy with us. He's a pious man. Always he was good. Never pestered us. Did dhikr. Remembers Allah. And they save themselves from their sins. Always fikr. If we can serve the hereafter. We're happy. If the angels are happy, rizq will come. Rizq. I tell you, because this is the preparation. The more you prepare in this world for the death, you won't get nothing else in this world. I tell you. Preparation for the death. The amount of dunya you can earn through preparation thereafter, you get extreme happiness, contentment, peace, happiness, children brought up nicely. Such a dunya you will earn through the preparation. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Three things you will get in the preparation of death. The final point, I remember, I'll share that with you as well. Preparation for death, my friends, is a great action according to today's circumstances. That you should be steadfast on your amal. Big thing. be regular. Just like you say that today I'll do this action. If you're regular in that, steadfast, and keep on analyzing yourself. This is preparation for death. Keep on looking at yourself, analyzing yourself, reflecting on yourself. And the third thing, that have the company of a friend of Allah. Most important factors. So this humble servant has made a system. Bring that system into your lives. Very valuable this system is. Very valuable system, I'm telling you. And Allah has arranged this system. It's from Allah, this system. And what is that? It's the tazkiyah sheet system that we have devised. It's such a brilliant and comparable system that the brilliant preparation for death, so brilliant, is guaranteed. Like the first hadith I've seen, you'll get treated like that if you use the sheet system. Don't be lazy with this system. And our people, women folk, children who are lazy, big loss, 2 days you do it, then leave it 2 days. That's the real success. It's giving you regularity and istiqamah, and you are reflecting, you're analyzing, you're doing all the actions, dhikr, your salah is being improved, your tahajjud you're realizing, your dhikr you're realizing, the majlis you're realizing, and since you are trying to save yourself from the sins, what else do you need? Yes, you are doing the actions leading to paradise free of charge. Free of charge. This is Allah's gift that He's given to you, to us. Why don't waste this for the sake of Allah. You will not get this system anywhere, I tell you. No way will you see this. No sheikh's tarbiyah will you see this system. This is Allah's special, special mercy upon you. And so it's arranged, it keeps changing and improved and altered and modified for good. So if you're not registered, register immediately, whatever situation is, however weak you are, expose that your salah is weak, you're not doing it, keep on submitting, send it, keep submitting it, send it, keep on entering the data, send it, don't be lazy with this, don't be lazy, you will see all of the issues highlighted in this. Yes, so do your reflection, analyze, the sheets will make you analyze, and if you want istiqamah, regularity, the sheet system will give, and if you need a sheikh, then you'll get the sheikh through that system. When you get the sheikh, then you'll get the sheets, isn't it? If you have the teacher. So when you go to the sheikh, yeah, if you come to the teacher, then you get the sheet system. So be careful of one point. That the sheikh, he's nothing, can't really see, really, he's not a scholar, he's nothing special, he hasn't been educated in a big institution. People ask these questions, my brothers, listen to this carefully. Today you will not get Junaid Baghdadi, you won't get Bayazid Bustami, you won't get Abdul Qadir Jalali in this day and age. Now these broken down sheikhs in this era, just take the learning from them. Yes, even they are the light and shining stars. They'll disappear. There'll be nothing left after that, I tell you. Today, the broken down sheikhs that you see, that you criticize, don't take the defects out. Sit down with them and learn from them. Learn from them. And don't fall into the waswasa and whispering of shaitan. You need to succeed, or are you there to point fingers at the sheikh? What's lacking in your life? If you don't get benefit from the sheikh, then criticize him. Oh, he's not this, he hasn't learned here, he's not qualified. This is all shaitaniyat. All shaitaniyat. Yes, those sheikhs I've named, they're not going to come back to this era. Just the broken down sheikhs are left. Why? Because we are in the generation close to qiyamah. Remember this, Dajjal, rather it's come, it's arrived. It's come. The Dajjal era has come. Whatever you see, the friend of Allah, you see is guaranteed. What is the quality, the signs Allah's Nabi Sallam said? When you see the Wali Allah, you remember Allah. That Shaykh, when you see him, he doesn't remind you anything else. What else does he remind you? Dhikrullah, you remember. Then grab hold of his legs. Grab hold of his legs. Grab hold of his legs. And say, I don't want to leave you. Why? Because Allah's Nabi Sallam told us this. That's it. You have fulfilled the sign. You fulfilled the sign. Here, we don't see zikr, nothing else. I can't leave your company. Please, grab hold of that person. And grab hold of his company, his guidance. That's it. That's enough. No more hopes. He needs to be Bafarid, Chagagan, Abdul Qadir Jalani, scholarly status, sheikh. He should be floating there. Magic, whatever I say he does, do dua. He fulfills duas, kashf and vision and dreams. My brothers, then you can go to next man. Yes, this broken down servant, you will waste that as well. Do you understand what I'm saying? May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to understand. Come on, let's do zikr, recite the rusul. I'm tired now.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah rabbil alayhim, as-salatu was-salamu ala sayyidina al-Husayn, shafi'i al-Muslimin, da'awa yaseen, al-Amin, al-Amin. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad al-Nabi, yiswa ashim wa hatim. وزرياتي وعليتيكم صلى الله عليه وعلى آله إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد سلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا كثيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وسلمنا وصلنا وجدنا وقدما اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمت ما أخرت ما أسرت ما دون أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر لا إله إلا أنت اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك أما نعتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا جنة أعمال أبرار يا عزيز يا غفار اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان وأحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا يا دافئ البلايات ادفع بلاياتنا يا شافي المرض اشف مرضنا اللهم عافنا في بطني اللهم عافنا في سمي اللهم عافنا في بصري لا اله الا انت ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما اللهم اني نعوذ بك من جهر السوء اللهم اني نعوذ بك من جهر السوء اللهم نعوذ بك من جهر السوء اللهم إنا لعمرات الموت وسكرات الموت اللهم باركنا في الموت في موات الموت اللهم إنا لعمرات الموت وسكرات الموت اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا أستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات اللهم منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون سلام على المرسلين والحمد لله